Ave Maria Radio and Renewal Ministries presents Fire on the Earth, a compelling look at the new evangelization through inspiring teachings, interviews, and testimonies. Here's your host, Peter Herbeck.
Welcome, friends. This is Peter Herbeck, your host. We're beginning another week of Fire on the Earth, the program dedicated to the promotion of Catholic mission and evangelization. We had a wonderful and a restful weekend. Later this week, we'll be celebrating on Thursday or Sunday, however it might be set up in your diocese, or I'm not sure exactly when it's going to be celebrated. We're going to celebrate Ascension, Ascension Thursday, the glorification of Jesus, his exaltation as he ascends to the right hand of the Father and takes his seat upon the throne, where the Father gives over to him not only all authority in heaven and on earth, but he gives over to him the promise, Jesus said. And Peter will preach on Pentecost. St. Peter, on that day, will declare that the outpouring of the Spirit that came upon the apostles and really began to fuel the church. It was the seed bed. It was the power, the dynamism, the grace, the promise of the Father given to Jesus, who's now the head of a new race of people, who's the head of this church, empowers and brings the church into being in the gift of the Holy Spirit. He received the promise as the Messiah and as Lord. He has all authority, and he pours out his Holy Spirit upon the earth, and the church is born. The feast, the celebration of the Ascension of our Lord, I think is such an important one, and it can sometimes get lost if it's on Thursday because lots of people don't end up going to Mass for various reasons and celebrating it, although I wish everybody would go. I think it's one of the great feasts for us to be able to lay hold of the utter uniqueness and majesty of Jesus. It was living with clarity about his glory and his majesty, the reality of what he's accomplished, who he is, and what he's doing right now. And the relationship that we have, the privileged relationship of being baptized into him and being part of his body, what does it mean to be part of Christ? And I thought this week I'd begin by reading something from a church document, Dominus Iesus. It was a document put out by the Sacred Congregation of the Doctrine of the Faith when Cardinal Ratzinger was there. It's a document that has mainly two parts. It focuses, number one, on the uniqueness of Jesus and addresses his identity and takes on the challenges that are out there to try to empty the uniqueness of Jesus. I think at one point Cardinal Ratzinger put it, he said that one of the great crises of our time is the emptying of the figure of the person of Jesus, of his significance, of his absolute uniqueness and power. And so this document, the first half of it, talks about who Jesus is and lays hold of what the church has always preached and believed about him and continues to believe today, despite the reductionism that's happened around his uniqueness, his power, his majesty. Jesus as the only Savior of the world, all power and authority belongs to him. The second half of the document focuses on the church and its uniqueness and its mission and its flowing from the identity and the person of Christ. So I just want to read something today. It's early in the morning. This is a little bit theological, but it does articulate the church's desire to lay hold of ways of speaking about Jesus that really do communicate his magnificence, his glory, his majesty, his power, his beauty, again, his uniqueness. So this is from paragraph 15 in the document. Said, not infrequently, it is proposed that theology should avoid the use of terms like unicity and universality and absoluteness. That is to avoid those terms in relationship to Jesus. The absoluteness, total uniqueness, universality of his saving power, no one like him, that kind of thing. Because there's voices out there, even some voices in the church that want to say, well, Jesus is one of a series of historical characters that were exceptional, special. We're sons of God in a unique way. The church knows for sure that there is no one like Christ. Jesus is the second person of the Trinity. He is the eternally begotten Son of God who took on human flesh. So the document goes on. It says, which give the impression of excessive emphasis on the significance and the value of the salvific event of Jesus Christ in relation to other religions. So people are concerned that the way the church talks about the uniqueness of Jesus, that it would somehow diminish other religions because their leader, their founder, whatever, can't be compared to Christ. And that's just true. That's the way it is. It doesn't mean the church doesn't relate to other religions with kindness and compassion and humility and love and respect, that kind of thing. It says, but in reality, however, such language is simply being faithful to revelation, since it represents a development of the sources of the faith themselves. From the beginning, the community of believers has recognized in Jesus a salvific value, a saving value, that is, such that he alone, as Son of God made man, crucified and risen by the mission received from the Father and in the power of the Holy Spirit, bestows revelation and divine life to all humanity and to every person. So Jesus is the only one who reveals the ultimate truth of all reality, of God himself. Jesus reveals God. Jesus said, to see me is to see the Father. Jesus reveals so clearly to us that God is a trinity of persons, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. And all revelation, full revelation, comes through Jesus, who John the Apostle, the beloved apostle, said in his gospel, the first chapter, that Jesus is the Logos. He's the Word. He is the Word that the Father has spoken to all of creation. The document goes on, and this is where it gets hyperbolic in a healthy and a right sense, just finding terms to describe the magnificence of Jesus and how the church understands it. In this sense, one can and must say that Jesus Christ has a significance and a value for the human race and its history, which are unique and singular, proper to him alone, exclusive, universal, and absolute. Jesus is in fact the Word of God made man for the salvation of all. In expressing this consciousness of faith, the Second Vatican Council teaches the following. The Word of God, through whom all things were made, was made flesh, so that as perfect man, he could save all men and sum up all things in himself. The Lord is the goal of human history. He is the focal point of the desires of history and civilization. He's the center of mankind. He's the joy of all hearts. He's the fulfillment of all aspirations. It is he whom the Father raised from the dead, exalted and placed at his right hand, constituting him judge of the living and the dead. It is precisely this uniqueness of Christ which gives him an absolute and universal significance, whereby, while belonging to history, he remains history's very center and goal. Quote, I am the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last, the beginning and the end. That's taken from Revelation chapter 22, verse 13. I'm the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last, the beginning and the end. We want to celebrate this week the uniqueness of Jesus and understand that he who is the center of all human history, who's the savior of everything and has all power and authority in heaven and on earth, became one of us out of obedience to the Father's command in the love that's in the heart of God himself, poured forth for our sake in the person of Jesus. And Jesus speaks to us very intimately. This Lord, this King in full authority, knows each one of us by name. He knows the number of hairs on your head. In fact, you were created through him, and you were created for him, St. Paul tells us in his letter to the Colossians. Jesus came to bring you home. Jesus says in chapter 15 of John's Gospel that as the Father has loved me, so I love you. To know the relationship that we have with Jesus, which begins with his saving act, he became one of us to die for our sin, to take away our sin, to blot it out, and to give us the opportunity to be able to share in everything that belongs to him as Son of God. He's motivated by love, by compassion, by mercy, by kindness, by truth. He wants to bring each one of us home, and he promises us that he's with us always and that we'll never be alone. So it's this Jesus who the church is united to in baptism. It's this Jesus who we preach and proclaim. It's to live at the service of this Jesus that the church exists, and that each and every one of us who are baptized into Christ no longer belong to ourselves, as Paul so wonderfully proclaimed. He said, it's no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. The life I now live, I live by faith in the Son of God. And what do I know about Jesus? What I know is exactly what I just read here from the church, from the document Dominus Iesus trying to articulate about the person of Jesus, that he is absolutely, he's exclusive, universal, absolute, the one Savior of the world, who's come to sum up in himself the whole meaning of what it means to be human, to restore to us, to restore to us God's life, to give us a share in what belongs to him. He's the desire of every human heart. He's the meaning of life and history, and he's the center of all things. This is Jesus. This is why the church, when she's healthy, when she's alive in her faith, when she knows Christ, that she knows she exists to serve him radically, and that Jesus is the best thing the church can bring to anyone on the planet. To know Jesus Christ, to be in relationship with Jesus, to be touched by his life and power, to be baptized into his life, to have our sins forgiven, to enter his church, to be part of the communion, the body of Christ that he himself is forming, that's going to last forever. Friends, everything else is going to pass away, but it's Christ and those who are in Christ. And those who are in Christ will be in God, and God will be all in all. This is the destiny of the human race. This is the only hope and the only salvation for the human race. One of the most important things we can do, and in this beautiful season between Easter and Pentecost, is as take the words of St. Peter, who said, enthrone Jesus Christ in your heart. And what that means is to allow the truth of who Jesus is to lay hold of us and to invite it, to welcome it, to hunger after it, to thirst, and to welcome and to receive the gift of the Holy Spirit that we've been given, the Holy Spirit who's given to each one of us and whose mission it is, in part, to reveal to every human heart this majesty and glory that is Jesus Christ. When we see Jesus, when we see his glory, and the Holy Spirit can literally help that happen, we can, at times and in moments, with little glimpses and impressions, and we can actually experience in a deeply personal way the glory and majesty of Jesus. That can happen in personal prayer. It can happen in the middle of a day. It happens when we hold him in our hands, when we receive him at the Eucharist, when we hear the gospel preach. There's moments where the reality of who we are and the reality of who he is, and for example, his giving himself to us, body, soul, divinity in the Eucharist, sometimes it all feels very ordinary because it is ordinary on a certain level, but it's through the ordinary that Christ is revealing his majesty and his greatness. And in those moments, those precious moments, the light can go on. And the Lord can show us the reality and the fact of what's happening and who he is. And as we begin to see him, our heart becomes enlivened. Our heart continues to be filled with love, because what the Holy Spirit wants to do for each of us is for us to fall in love with Christ, to have our heart filled with a deep passion for knowing him, a growing desire to be conformed to him, to obey him, and to have him at the center of everything about us, our personal life, our marriage, our family life, our work life, our entire existence. And like St. Paul said, I want to know Christ and the power of his resurrection and to have fellowship in his suffering. That's where the Holy Spirit wants to lead each and every one of us. So this week, as we anticipate celebration of the Ascension, let's welcome Christ and enthrone him in our heart as Lord. God bless you.
Each program of Fire on the Earth with Peter Herbeck can be downloaded at AveMariaRadio.net and RenewalMinistries.net. Fire on the Earth is a production of Ave Maria Radio.
Friends, I'd like to offer you Peter Burek's new booklet, The Game Changer, in which he talks to us very clearly about the role of the Holy Spirit in our lives, especially to empower us to engage the mission of the church. That's a calling that's there for all the baptized. If you'd like this free booklet, you could call us at 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789. Or go to renewalministries.net/FOE. You can also listen to our past episodes or subscribe to our podcast. God bless you.